This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Moving right along, we've actually got our own community's psephologist, Adam Carr, to talk to us about what's happening in this election. Good morning to you, Adam.
Good morning. How are we all?
Very, very good. Well.
We've had an interesting morning, Adam. We had a good chat with Josh Frydenberg. And then for a slightly different view of things, Jenny Makarkos, the State Health Minister, Victorian
it's
Health
like
Minister.
It's like chalk and cheese, isn't it, Macca?
Yeah.
You've got a defensive approach to LGBTI community issues, and then you've got a very sort of, let's get on with it, we need to do this and we'll do more.
Yeah.
Anyway, Adam, we want to talk about the federal election.
Yeah, who's really messed up this week? Are there actually any candidates left in Melbourne other than Adam Bandt?
Well, it's been another exciting week. As we were discussing before, the level of scrutiny on candidates and their past is higher than ever. Kate Ashmore, the Liberal candidate in McNamara, has been under fire over her citizenship. Now, I don't know what the facts of that are. Well, I guess we'll find out, but it shows that issue is still alive and well for some people. And we had a Greens candidate disendorsed for offensive comments. So all the parties have been affected by this. I don't think it's going to change many votes one way or the other because it's obviously a multi-party problem, but it obviously is creating difficulties for everybody.
I actually see it, Adam, it's an insult to voters. Political parties, okay, and let's look at, you know, you got Labor.
We had this conversation last week, mate.
Yeah, but, you know, you have the major parties and, you know, United Australia Party, they're going to get a lot of government, you know, a lot of money for the number of votes they get.
Yeah.
It's just not good enough.
Well, public funding of elections is done in order to make the parties less dependent on private donations, and I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
I think we do need donations reform. We need greater transparency in who is giving money to political parties. There is an argument that political elections should be entirely public funded and there should be no donations to political parties. I think that's probably not a good thing. I think people should be able to give money to parties and candidates, but there does need to be more transparency not 6 months later as to who has given money to parties.
Let's go back to the election. So what's the current mood?
Yep.
What are you picking up, Adam? What's the electorate telling you?
Well, the polls obviously continuing to show Labor with a narrow lead. There has been very little overall movement in the opinion polls now for quite a long time. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. One is that the electors haven't started paying attention yet, and I think that's probably wearing a bit thin now that we're in the last week. We'll get another round of polls at the beginning of this coming week. And the other explanation is that the voters made up their minds a long time ago and they're not going to change. The campaign is not, in fact, changing anybody's minds. That's certainly, a lot of people think that. A lot of people think that Labor's lead in the polls is now sort of baked in and that nothing that happens in the last week of the campaign is going to change it. I'm not making any heroic predictions about
well,
that.
Well, I'm going to ask you, what do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, if the public mood stays as it is now, then Labor will win. But, you know, I said, as we've discussed before, I said the same thing about Hillary Clinton. So no election is over till it's over. We have seen in the past, we've seen late swings in elections in the last week if some event crops up. What's different this time, though, of course, is that something like 1.5 million people have already voted. So if there is a sudden shock in the last week of the campaign, its effect will be muffled by the fact that a fair chunk of the electorate have already voted.
Including me. I've voted.
Yeah. So if some horrible scandal blows up on Wednesday this week, people won't be able to get their votes back. They'll be stuck with the choice that they made. So the last week of the campaign is now probably less important than it used to be.
Yeah.
So you'd have to say, given that Labor is in the polls in the week just gone, still running mostly at sort of 52-48, it'll obviously depend on where that swing is. You've still got to win 76 seats, even if you get we've had elections in the past where the party that polled a majority of the two-party vote didn't win because they didn't win the right seats. That happened to Kim Beazley in 1998. So that's still a possible outcome too. But you'd have to say at the moment that Labor are favourites.
Adam, last week we talked about the influence and the impact that social media can have on this election and election campaigns. What about the Murdoch Press? They've been up to some pretty interesting tricks in the last week.
News Corp's.
What's your assessment of those?
Well, we saw a spectacular run-in between Bill Shorten and the Sydney Daily Telegraph, which is Murdoch's flagship tabloid in Sydney and is, you know, famously a very influential paper. It's interesting that Bill Shorten is willing to take the Murdoch Press on. In the past, leaders of both sides have been very wary about taking on Murdoch because of his power. He owns three of the biggest selling newspapers in Australia, the Telegraph, the Herald Sun and the Courier Mail in Brisbane, plus the Australian, which doesn't have a huge circulation, but which has a lot of influence because sort of elite people read the Australian. But Bill Shorten seems to think that he was obviously very angry about the criticism of his wife, but he also feels that taking on Murdoch is going to do him some good. He's not a vote loser. And so we'll have to see how that pans out.
Do you think, Adam, yes, the Daily Telegraph is a very influential paper. It's certainly not as influential as it was.
No, that's true.
And other platforms, getting much more traction. Do you think, though, that, we've seen a little bit of comment, a lot of current News Corps, and I do know I'm saying Corps, C-O-R-P-S-E, journalists and previous are actually calling into question the political tonality of the News Corp
titles. I think it does seem clear that the Murdoch Press is going in harder. I mean, they've always been anti-Labor ever since the early 70s anyway, for a long time now. They have been, at every election, anti-Labor. They do seem to be going in harder this time, and that's partly because under Bill Shorten, Labor has adopted somewhat more expansive policies on tax that will hit tax havens, wealthier people will be paying more tax, and news corporations' own commercial interests will be affected. So that's the explanation. And even some, as you say, some former News Corp journalists and executives have noted how much more extravagantly anti-Labor the Murdoch papers are at this election. Even Chris Mitchell, who is certainly no friend of the Labor Party, and when he was editor of The Australian, and before that editor of The Courier Mail, he was responsible for the infamous story about Manning Clark being given the Order of Lenin, you may remember. Yeah. And even he is saying that he thinks they've gone a bit over the top at this election. Now, whether the fulminations of the Telegraph and the Herald Sun actually hurt Labor, we saw at the Victorian state election. The Herald Sun went all in to help the Liberals, didn't do them any good. So I think the days of elections being swayed by a newspaper, tabloid newspapers, may well be over, but we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, think back to the times, Adam, you've been around politics a long time when, you would wait anxiously to see what the editorial of the Age or the Sydney Morning Herald or the Herald Sun or whichever, what it said. I actually doubt...
Now we're much more interested in Adam Carr's Facebook posts.
That's right. Yeah, they're much more...
I don't think many people read newspaper editorials or change their vote based on newspaper editorials.
No.
The Australian Press has always been overwhelmingly anti-Labor. I mean, even supposedly, moderate papers like The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald usually come out against Labor at most elections. I don't think it changes any votes at all. And now that the age of social media, as we've discussed this last week, I think, as you say, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they are the platforms now that the parties care about. That's where they're spending their money. We saw the extremely effective use of very short social media grabs by Daniel Andrews at the state election, and that is the model that all the parties are now following, and particularly for voters under 30. The idea that they're going to be influenced by an editorial in The Australian is really quite laughable these days.
Just as we close, Adam, what Victorian seats are you particularly going to be watching next Saturday night?
I think all the indications are that there is still a substantial swing to Labor happening in inner Melbourne. I've been told the Liberals have spent $500,000 in Higgins, for example, which is a seat they've never lost. They clearly are worried about their inner city seats, Higgins, Cooyong, Goldstein, and also Flinders. McNamara is the one seat they have, or used to have anyway, some hope of picking up, but their candidate, it's pretty obviously, has been a bit of a disappointment. I don't think they have any realistic prospects of picking up any seats in Victoria. I think they're pretty certain to lose Chisholm. The real contest, I think, is for the next rank of seats like Latrobe, Deakin, maybe even Casey, that Labor has hopes of winning. The Greens have been given a free kick, obviously, in Melbourne because the Labor candidate has withdrawn. They have some hopes in both McNamara and Higgins, but I would be very surprised if the Greens do any better than they did last time. They'll hold their one seat. They'll get Janet Rice re-elected to the Senate, but I don't think they'll do any better. But I think the general expectation is that Labor's going to pick up 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 seats in Victoria.
And if you were to put a bet on seats like Higgins, Kooyong, Goldstein and Flinders, which way would you bet?
Well, I'd be very surprised if Labor actually wins any of those seats. It's possible. They're clearly worried, particularly, I think, about Higgins and Flinders. But of course, Labor doesn't need to win those seats. What suits Labor is that the Liberals are spending all this money sandbagging those seats. The seats that Labor needs to win are Corangamite and Chisholm and Deakin and Latrobe. And if the Liberals are in a panic in Kooyong, you know, which was Sir Robert Menzies' seat, it's the classic blue ribbon Liberal seat. If they're having to spend money,
it's highly symbolic. It's highly symbolic for them, isn't it?
Yeah, Josh Frydenberg's putting up enormous billboards of himself, and clearly they're having to spend quite a lot of their money in their traditional safe seats, which means money they're not spending in the outer suburban and country marginals that they actually need to hold.
Where will you be on election night?
During the day, I will be handing out at my local polling booth, handing out how to vote cards. I will then be, I think, scrutineering, and then I will be going to a candidate's election party. I'm not going to tell you which one. I am, of course, an impartial commentator here.
You live in Higgins, don't you?
It won't be the United Australia Party, that's for sure.
No, it probably won't be the United Australia Party.
We might see you in Katie Allen's office then.
Possibly. But you can give me a call on Saturday, and I'll tell you what's happening at the Orong booth, which is where I'll be.
Okay, great. We might even do that. So we'll speak to you during the week. Adam, thank you very much for your time, as always, and your insights. Always a great pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.